What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 374 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM with us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And we have a pretty light bit of news for on the PlayStation side. Some interesting stuff on the Xbox side, which we'll talk about in a sec, just because it kind of ties into PlayStation 5 and, you know, stuff around there. And we'll get to that later in the show. But, yeah, starting off with new releases, I don't think there was anything big that came out this week, was there? I tried... No one mentioned anything in any podcast I listened to. I didn't see any big news. I didn't see anything on the PlayStation Store that really
stood
out.
I'm going to be super honest. I really didn't pay attention to anything this week.
I don't remember anything major. I think maybe, like, there might have been indie games. Carrion was last week, and that wasn't even PlayStation, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was just, like, Season 5 of Modern Warfare, but I think that was last week. The beta, the Avengers beta is up right now. You can do that, but I don't think there's anything big that was new.
We're hitting that before console lull of you have 3 months to catch up on every game ever before you have to buy the new one.
Mm-hmm.
There's UFC 4 and then Skater XL, I guess. Those might be new. But yeah, nothing major. So we'll go ahead and jump into the news. First bit of news, Sam Fisher is going to be joining Rainbow Six Siege as an operator. He will be part of the Operation Shadow Legacy. Now, it'll be interesting because typically when they do operators, they do two. They will do an attacker and a defender, or two attackers or two defenders, and they'll be from a specific country. That's how I always do it. Like, all the operators are based off of real-life, operatives, I guess, like their teams, like the SAS, all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to see that he's just in there. I'm curious how he'll play, considering, you know, I don't play the Splinter Cell games, but I'm like, he's just a stealth guy. Like, because the whole point of Rainbow Six is, like, everybody has sort of, you know, a specialty. Like, they have almost like an ult, but not really an ult in, like, the Overwatch kind of sense or whatever. But they have, like, a unique ability that is good against certain other operators if you're an attacker or a defender. And I guess he could be maybe one, like, a unique one that plays both attack and defense, because you can't do that. Like, there's only, if this is an attacking operator, it's like, that's it. That's who you are. You can't play any of the defensive ones when you're attacking. You can't play attacking ones when you're defending. So it's possible he could be both. That would be unique. That would change the meta for sure. But I don't know what he would do that would be that unique, because they've only teased him. They haven't shown any gameplay yet, which I think they're waiting until the NA mini major finals later on. But I don't know when that's supposed to be. They don't have a date for when that's going to happen, because typically they'll tease stuff out ahead of time. And then when they have their big event, they'll show, like, the full trailer and all the gameplay stuff for every new operative. But yeah, dude's popping up in a lot of stuff. So I'm interested that they're just doing this ahead of time of announcing some new Splinter Cell game, because everybody wants one.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, Ghost of Tsushima is selling really well. It tops the NPD charts for July in the fourth, I think the fourth, no, it's somewhere high up there. Maybe it could be number one, but it's the fourth biggest U.S. Sony launch ever.
What are the first three?
I'm trying to see if this article lists the first three, but it doesn't list it. But what's interesting is that the top 10 best-selling games of 2020 so far, I think four of them are PlayStation. Four of them are. Is it four? One, two, three. Oh, three of them are four of them are PlayStation exclusive. Last of Us is number three. So it's Call of Duty: Modern Warfare. Obviously, Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Last of Us Part II, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, MLB The Show 20. So we have the it says new. That's weird. They put new, so it makes it the numbers look really weird. Fifth and seventh one. And then it's Resident Evil 3, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and then Mortal Kombat 11. But it says digital sales on Nintendo eShop not included for Mario Kart and for Animal Crossing. So those are, even though Animal Crossing number two, but I doubt it would be number one. But yeah, it's doing well. I know it's doing well in Japan too. So that's good to see. Then speaking of sales, Resident Evil 7 is now the best-selling individual game in the Resident Evil franchise, which is cool. I figured it would get there eventually because I know 5 was up there. But it is 5 is technically still number one, and you include, apparently, when you figure in both the original and the gold editions combined, which I feel like you would. But so it's interesting that they don't do that from the start. But yeah, it's Resident Evil 7. Apparently, it's a, as far as individual release. Yeah, I guess because you release a gold, because the gold one did have extra stuff in it later on. But it's now sold just under 8 million units, putting it behind Monster Hunter World as Capcom's second best all-time bestseller. So yeah, I'm glad it's glad to see it's doing really well. I always forget that Resident Evil 6 sold 7.6 million copies.
Jeez.
Because that game was only one third good. but yeah. Oh wow, Resident Evil 2 remake did 7.2. That's real good. Resident Evil 3 is not up there though, the remake. But that was this year? No, that was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on, THQ acquired the Dev 4A Games, who does the Metro franchise. And apparently they said that they are working on both another Metro game and a new AAA game. So it'll be interesting to see a new game come out, a new IP come out of the 4A Games devs. And I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping that Metro Exodus plays better on PlayStation 5. If it's playable on PlayStation 5, I'd hope it would be. But if it plays better, it'd be nice if it had a frame rate patch, because I would like to go back and play the game. And I also hope they make it to where you can actually turn the sensitivity up even higher, because that's one of my biggest problems. The sensitivity is so freaking low, even at max. Yeah, I just want that game at 60. I mean, even on PC at high settings, it's tough to get that game at stable 60, but we'll see.
That sucks.
Yeah. We also got the announcement of... sorry, this ad just popped up and ruined the whole screen because it was a different website. But the Suicide Squad game that's going to be by the devs behind the Batman franchise. So Rocksteady officially announced that they're working on a Suicide Squad game. Kill the Justice League is the subtitle for that. It'll be fully revealed at the DC Fandome event, which is on August 22nd, which is also where you'll get more information about the WB Games Montreal and their untitled game, which people are speculating is the Court of Owls game, which would be Batman. So getting a Batman and a Justice League, or sorry, Suicide Squad game at the same time. So people can look forward to that. That's only in a couple days, so you don't have too long to wait for it. And then for some reason, Insomniac needed to apparently answer a question about Miles Morales, where the big takeaway was that Miles will get a full arc in the Spider-Man PS5 game, which, like, yeah, duh.
Of course, I hope so.
I don't know why would people need clarification on that? Like, you wouldn't just make a game about Miles Morales and not give him a story arc in a game. It's like,
right.
It just seems so silly.
There's been so much dumb, or like so many dumb, stupid comments and clarifications that have had to happen on the game. Like, yes, it's a full game. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. The game called Spider-Man Miles Morales will have Miles Morales in it as a major component. Like, will it have Spider-Man in it? Like, it just baffles me. And I mean, it obviously all boils down to honestly just like straight up racism and dumbasses, but it's such a silly thing that any of these things need to be clarified. Like, they announced a game. Is this a game? Yes. It's a full game. Yes, it's actually a game.
Yeah. I think so that comes down to is that when they announce it, like, people expect, like, okay, this is a big game. And then when you had the Sony execs calling it like a DLC, and when it wasn't, it was more like Lost Legacy, which is a standalone game. So it's like causing themselves some little confusion. But they in the interview, they did just clarify, you know, because the game is smaller and shorter, like, again, they compare it to Lost Legacy, is because that they wanted it to be more, they wanted the main storyline to be more compact, to have much more of an emotional impact, because, you know, for example, like with God of War, I'm watching someone play it right now, but they're not doing any of the side content. So it's basically just 12 hours of all the mainline story missions. Now, there are some long gaps in between all the big major beats in that, even if you do that. But with Spider-Man, like if you do a lot of that, you know, unnecessary side missions and content, like sure, you do it to chase the skills and costumes and everything. But if you make it just majorly focused on Miles Morales and the story you're telling with not as much side content, like I'm totally fine, because again, that does keep that emotional impact, like they say, much more at the forefront when you don't have as big of a gap between mission A and mission B and all the major story beats. So I that makes sense. Like, hey, we're not going to bloat this with a bunch of side nonsense. Mm-hmm. We're just going to make it pretty. And it's like, and they could do stuff where it's like, hey, you do the story and then afterwards all the side stuff if you want. Like just little challenges and stuff, that you can do that after the fact, just if you want it. But so I mean, because even when you compare it to Lost Legacy, Lost Legacy is a good length game. Granted, it's not, the story isn't the main focus. There is the story there, and then there's a good chunk of it, but it's a big open world, giant open world map. So definitely look forward to that still. And then, jumping back to Ubisoft, Asraf Ismail got fired from Ubisoft. He is, of course, the director. Let me find his full. Just the game director for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So he is no longer with. This is a reported by Bloomberg. Jason Schreier on Bloomberg. He said that while he initially remained a Ubisoft employee, when he left of his own accord, Ubisoft spokesperson said that as a result of investigations, he's been dismissed from Ubisoft and is no longer an employee. So he got let go, which I still feel like his was just a case of like an extramarital affair, which again, not telling someone, because it was a fan, apparently it was a fan who said that he lied about being married and, you know, to have a relationship with her, which is obviously bad. But if it was like someone within the studio, I'd feel like, okay, well, that's abuse of power because they're in the studio. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and he said, sure, if you want to let him go, that's fine. Like, I guess it's their decision. I feel like versus the other people in that have been let go at Ubisoft who've done like bad stuff to all the employees, like, it's like, I feel like, yeah, they deserve that. But this is like, I always feel like it's a little out there, but in that bucket, but not quite. I'm a little more isolated, but I'm curious what that means. I mean, they've obviously, they're super far along by the time he had stepped down initially after the this was back in, they don't timestamp these tweets.
It's also tough to know the full extent of like what actually happened. Like the extramarital affair thing, like if it was, that is definitely shitty, but just something one of my friends pointed out to me is like he could have been doing this on company time or like using company property and stuff, which obviously would have made things worse and would have been grounds for dismissal. So we don't know the full story, and it's tough in the internet age of just feeling like you know everything with these like allegations and stuff.
True. Yeah, if he's using the company credit card and writing off expenses as business expenses when they're not business meals, or he's on a date with someone. That would be okay. Yeah, that obviously, yeah, let him go because you're exploiting, you know, your privilege in your position at the company. Like, get rid of it. But yeah, just
speculation. Yeah. But that was what one of my friends pointed out to me when I was like, well, it seems shitty you would get fired for an affair. Like, it's a shitty thing, but it's not really related to business. And he's like, well, most people hide affairs through business means. And I was like, oh yeah, true. Mm-hmm. It is a thing that happens.
Yeah, I just feel like the hiding it through there is more like you can easily hide it from your spouse. Like, oh, I got a business meeting, got to talk about Eivor. Yeah. And it's like, really, you're banging some chick in the back of a car or something. It's like, it's a company car, damn it.
Okay. Yeah. See?
But, yeah. But so the game is probably far enough along that anything he needed to be there for is essentially done. Like, at this point, it's all got to be, you know, wrapping up bugs, you know, tightening up the graphics on level 4, mm-hmm. you know, grandma's boy. Anyways, so yeah, that's there. And then that's all the major PlayStation news, but there was some Xbox news. So the Xbox Series S got leaked by a controller, which I thought was hilarious. because the packaging controller said this white controller, which had also leaked weeks prior because a Microsoft employee had on his house and his kid had a party and someone at the party took a picture of it. I think that either was the kid or someone else, and he got in trouble for that. But it was the packaging for this white controller that said, you know, it's compatible with Xbox One, Xbox One X, Xbox Series X, and Xbox Series S. So even though they haven't officially announced the console, the packaging basically gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else about the packaging, I don't know if it was part of the controller packaging or something else, but it basically, some packaging gave away that November 3rd is when they're launching the Xbox. Which would put that on a Tuesday. Let me see. Xbox November 3rd release. Let's see here. Microsoft, yeah. Because they had announced in November would be their date. New preview. Okay, I'm trying to see here. Yeah, well, I can't dig for it. Not that it's important, but it basically gave away the release date for I forget. I wish I could remember what it was, but yeah, that happened. Which I said at the beginning of November, which would be very interesting. I mean, that's kind of early. I mean, mm-hmm. This gen they launched at the end of November, but PlayStation launched the, you know, halfway through, so they probably want to get a head start. But who knows? But yeah, interesting stuff. And then of course they had the other big thing from Xbox was that they delayed Halo Infinite, which people are speculating how much of an impact is that going to have on the sales figures for X, and how many people would have jumped from getting a PS5 into and not getting a Xbox because of that, since they can just play Infinite on their PC or on their, well, not that matter, but they wouldn't need to get a Series X right away because the game got delayed, so they can just wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, well, I'll just get this next gen PlayStation 5. But so that'll be interesting. But yeah, that's it for the big bits of news. Got through that pretty quick. I thought there was something else I was missing, but nothing major PlayStation related. But yeah, we can go ahead and just get into what we've been playing. What have you been playing? You've been kind of quiet on Discord. I haven't kept up to date with what you've been doing.
Oh yeah, it's been a hell work week.
yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, I've been dying at work. So I started up Assassin's Creed Odyssey again, and I had meant to play the DLC and realized that my original save was corrupted.
Oh no!
So we're going for a full playthrough of that game again.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I loaded it up and it was corrupted and would load, so I had to start a new game. So I've started a new playthrough of that, and it's been kind of good just because, let's be honest, like the story beats in Odyssey are far apart, and you can play a lot of the game just kind of wandering around from camp to camp killing shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good kind of like drop in, drop out game. But that's pretty much, that's all I've been playing. Yeah, I finished Ghost of Tsushima a while ago. It's just been Odyssey.
Yeah. No, not going to pick up anything in between now and PS5?
Well, I mean, I think I'll finish up Odyssey so I can play the DLC and the Fate of Atlantis DLC. And then I ordered Neo 2 because it was $20 and I'd been holding off on it for a while, but it was such a good deal for the Steelbook. It was like $30 for the Steelbook. I was like, okay, fine, I'll get it. So I did pick that up, and no, I think between now and PS5, I'm just going to like slowly polish off backlogs, and then there's still some new games coming out that I want to get. Like, I want to play the Control DLC, I want to play like the Outer Worlds DLC. God, there was that one game that was just announced during the State of Play that sounded interesting. I'm already blanking on it.
Bugsnax.
No. Read my mind, Jason. Tell me what I'm thinking of because I can't remember.
Talking about
Bugsnax.
You weren't on that episode, so
we did listen to the full song of that, and I still stand by it being like a very disturbing game.
Kind of.
Other Side came out, so I'll probably pick that up. And I want to get CrossCode, which I am not sure if CrossCode is out yet. I think it is. I think it came out a few months ago, but CrossCode has been on my list for a long time to pick up and try out as a, like an older RPG. The game itself is not old. It just is in the style of older RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Zai? What have you been playing? 14?
Just a 14 update stuff.
Have you finished everything? Did you finish any of the MSQ stuff, or was there a lot of MSQ in the 5.3 update?
There was a lot of MSQ, and I did already finish it because I could not stop once I started. It's so good. It's so good. I haven't cried that much since Heaven's Word.
Yeah, I saw you on Twitter or something, like you're like, I need people to talk to or play Final Fantasy because it's like, I'm
just
so sad.
Just please play it. Like, I also, yeah, I was like, I finished the MSQ at like 3 a.m. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning or whatever. And I was like, wow, I'm glad nobody's awake because holy shit, I'm a disgusting, ugly, crying mess. So that's fine. But no, it's really good. So I did the MSQ and then I did the new Half of the Near raid last night. Because I was just
is it super it. Moody and with great music?
It has great music. It's not moody. It's weird. It's the weird Nier Automata part. So, and kind of
I mean,
gross.
That's a game I need to play again. But that describes most of the entire game is like weird and moody.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I love that game.
The music is really good, though. And the fights are really good, too. They're so unique from anything else in the game, just the way that it tells you how to do the mechanics and stuff like that. It gives you really different clues as to how you're supposed to deal with stuff, which is great once you figure it out, but it's so cryptic in the beginning. You're just like, I don't know what's killing me. Please help me. I'm just going to stand where everybody else is standing. I think everybody else has it figured out.
How you always go through those first raids. You're just like, well, everyone's moving, so I'm gonna move, and then when I'm slower and die, I'm just gonna blame it on lag.
Yeah. Or you go where everybody else is standing, you're like, this seems safe, and then you die anyway. You're like, oh, everybody else didn't know where to go either.
Or they're like, Zaya, why are you following us here? You're the one with the buff. You're supposed to go over there.
Yeah.
Oops.
Or you get like a target on you, you're like, I don't know what to do with this. You just start running around, but it's like people are trying to chase you, so you're like, oh, okay, maybe I'm supposed to stay still or something. But yeah, that's how that raid goes. And you die a lot.
Struggle is real.
That's fun. But the bosses are really good, and the fights are really good, and the music is really good. And I'm getting a sense that the third tier is going to be extremely very, very weird and unsettling, because it's already kind of started in this one. Like, the first tier was, it was okay. You're just fighting, like, the machines and stuff like that, and it's pretty straightforward and it's not too weird. You just fight like the really big machine. You fight Engels or whatever his name is. And then the second tier is kind of the same. You're fighting like more mech type of things, and then the final boss just kind of shoots off into left field for no particular reason, and you're like, I'm really unsettled and very scared for the next half of this raid series. But it's good. It's so good. Please play it.
When's the next? All right, it got delayed, right? Because of COVID, the expansion, the proper like update or whatever.
I don't know.
Or was that this one?
This update got delayed a little bit. It was delayed by a few weeks. But I don't know what they're gonna do, because they've already released 5.3, which has ended Shadowbringers. Shadowbringers is done. That story is completed. Mm-hmm. It's done. Everything. Like, nice little bow on the whole concept of the thing, of the expansion anyway. So I don't know if they're going to still announce the next expansion, like, on a digital event in November, or if they're just going to, because usually the 0.4 and 0.5 are the lead up to the next expansion, where it's like, we already know where we're going, we already know what we're doing, and this is leading up to it. So if they don't announce the expansion, like, it's just gonna spoil the surprise. I mean, we already kind of know what's gonna go on and where we're gonna end up going, but you know, it could pivot and you don't know. So they haven't
to the moon? To the
Where are you going?
To Garlemald, probably, the Empire.
Oh, I thought it was going to be to the moon.
No, I thought we were going to go to the moon in Shadowbringers, and then the person that was on the moon came to Eorzea. I was like, no, I want to go to the moon. They were on the moon for some reason, and it made no sense in like a preview cutscene, and then suddenly we didn't go to the moon. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know if they've said what they're going to do in November, if they're even going to do anything. Because I imagine if they announce the expansion, there's nothing really to give it. The fan fests, and they're trying to do the fan fest for early next year. I don't think that's going to happen, at least not the North American one. And I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I'm really curious what the next expansion is going to be, because like when I was, you know, talking with my cousin about Shadowbringers and like the whole thing, I'm like, it's that problem that, you know, any show or anime where the main protagonist is like a superhero, essentially. It's like that Dragon Ball Z issue. It's like you always have to find someone who's bigger and badder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, where were they this whole other time? Or like, oh, well, they were a disciple of Freezer, was a disciple of Beerus, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or they were part of this person. It's like who are, it's like, oh, now then, like, it just like in Dragon Ball Super, it's like there's multiple universes, and then like I'm like, where the hell is Final Fantasy gonna go?
Yeah,
after they do this crazy stuff, like, how do you get more crazy? Are you just gonna bring it back down in a more, you know, realistic confrontation? Like, what do you do? And like, that's gotta be so tough. Like, I never felt like with 11 that they, I mean, I didn't necessarily finish everything, but that it necessarily, like, you kind of started pretty big. And then, you know, you deal, you know, it never felt like it jumped too far ahead from where it was. But
I'd say C in the Jailers was pretty much an ass pull, because when that happened, I was like, I don't understand what's going on anymore. You're just making weird alien blobs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, which is fine. But the thing about 11's expansions is they were mostly contained. They didn't have like this huge overarching story where the expansions were more like guiding you through that main narrative while also taking you on these like side ventures or whatever. It was always like, even with Heavensward, yes, we're stuck in the middle of the Dragon Song War and we need to fix that, but the Dragon Song War is being orchestrated by the Ashians, you know, and the same, there was always like an overarching thing that was making you do these other, you know, detours or whatever, so you go through the main thing. But Shadowbringers, I mean, without going into too many spoilers about 5.3, not that it super matters, it kind of is like tying that up. And you're like, well, what's going to happen if you tie all that up? Where, what's the next like overarching story? Or is it going to go into what 11 does, where they're all self-contained stories and there's no real like link between them or anything like that? And then there was also one of the like the end stingers or whatever, the end little mini cutscenes where, you know, it said something concerning and you're just like, well, what's gonna happen to my game now? Are they just gonna blow it up again and start over? Or are we going to go to the moon and live there now because Eorzea is boring and we're done?
Yeah, the final guy decides, you know what, I'm gonna start this whole experiment over again, just destroy all of existence. And you're reborn.
But we just summon Bahamut again and like, well, it's destroyed again, I guess. That's weird. We killed Bahamut. Like, killed him. Nope. Can't be killed. Turns out. He just comes every now and then and destroys everything. Oh, okay.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played too much. I haven't played much Apex. Season 6 starts next week, so I'm looking forward to that. We talked about it last week. It's got a new legend. Rampart, looking forward to it. I did play Twin Breaker, a Sacred Symbols Adventure. It's just a Twin Breaker game, you know, with the ball and you have the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
I break bricks, but it has two of them, as is the name, Twin Breaker. So you control each one independently with the left and right stick or with the D-pad and the face buttons. But then, and they can be either on the bottom of the screen or on the side of the screen. But then fucking they make you control four paddles at one time. And I'm like, oh my God, like my brain exploded. And I'm like, this is the most difficult thing. And like, it has that power up where like, you turn the ball into two balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't focus and control four paddles while there's two balls bouncing around at high speeds and dodging enemies and grabbing power-ups and bonuses. I'm sorry, but that blew my mind. Like, I was like, I've never seen this before, but that was all fun. It was super short. I mean, it's only a $10 game. And then I started replaying Dying Light. I rolled a new game on it. I was playing on normal, but they had patched into story mode, and I dropped it down to story mode later because I was like, I beat the game originally on hard, but the zombies just take 40 fucking years to get killed. And I'm like, I've already played this game, so I don't really want to have to fight the zombies again. I'm like, I'm sorry, but if I hit the zombie in the head with the machete, I should cut off the head every time,
mm-hmm.
at least, you know, because based on the character I am. And so when I put on story mode, like they die a little quicker. The nights don't last as long, but the monsters at nighttime are still just as dangerous. They don't hurt you as much, obviously, if you're playing hard mode. But and unfortunately, they patched out. There was this old glitch that used to exist back in the day where you can duplicate items. And I was going to do that just to kind of boost myself up in one aspect, since I'm just goofing around when we're playing it,
mm-hmm.
Skipping all the story content. But the glitch got patched, and the only way to do it is you have to join someone else's game. And like, it's this long, convoluted, like, oh, you stay in the menu while you join a game. And once it joins and then you get there, you quickly back out. And if you're lucky, if you time it just right, the game will, or you have to hit the PlayStation button, go to the settings, turn off your internet so it disconnects, turn the internet back on, it kicks you out of the multiplayer match, and if you're lucky, it'll pick you back, and if the game doesn't blue screen on you, you got duplicated items. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have time for this. But yeah, game's a lot of fun. It doesn't look good on a 4K TV. Like, obviously, it came out in 2015, so when I first played it, I had it just on a 1080p TV. But yeah, playing a game that only has 1080p it wasn't necessarily the best looking game in 2015 either,
mm-hmm.
considering it's an open world game. But yeah, it's just a lot of anti-aliasing on my TV. And yeah, and it's funny because I guess they patched it at some point on PlayStation 4 and Xbox to where the frame rate became uncapped. So on PS4 Pro, there's times where the frame rate will jump up to 60, but it's so all over the place. And like, barf. It's so weird. It doesn't cap at 30. And I'm like, that's kind of odd. But the game's still fun. It's still like, I love just running around that game. Once you get the grappling hook, it's a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious too about the story for 2, because the story for 1, you know, spoilers for Dying Light, but there's like this fake city of Haran that gets infected by this virus. And then the city becomes, they like isolate the city. And then the global relief effort, the GRE, teams up with the ministry of whatever that's part of, you know, in charge of Haran, to provide aid to all the people who are trapped in the city. And then you find out that, and there's, they send this guy in, Crane, who's voiced by Roger Craig Smith, which is nice.
Oh, nice.
Send him in. So there's this guy who's, used to work for the GRE that has this file of data, and then he's trying to blackmail the GRE or else he'll release this file to the public. So, you know, okay, something's going on. And it turns out that, you know, the military either accidentally or on purpose unleashed the virus onto Haran, and then the GRE is trying to weaponize it. So they're not really trying to cure it, and they're dropping like this antizin medicine that's helps suppress the virus, but eventually you will turn if you just keep taking it. So there's no cure for it. So like, you're running around trying to figure out what's going on. You find out GRE's bad, and then you get this at the end of the first game, or the game, you essentially kill the guy you're after the whole time. You get the documentation, which shows that, you know, hey, GRE's bad. You release it to the world so they know that they fucked up. And then you give this data to this doctor to try to make a cure. And that's kind of how the game ends. You stop the bad guy. You see, oh, because the GRE is going to bomb the city. They're going to basically nuke the whole place down.
Mm.
Oh, it's funny. One of the objectives too is that they were going to. The world thinks everybody there is dead. So to show they're alive, you're gonna blow up all these buildings to make a smiley face, to show like clearly there's people that are still alive here. It was a silly plan, but they stop you anyways. Like as you build the smiley face, some jets come by and blow it up and try to stop you. But anyways, so then the standalone DLC, actually I don't think it's standalone, might be just part of it, but The Following picks up at the end of the game, and you still don't have a cure yet, and then you find some guy who's about to die, and he tells you that there's some village on the outskirts that has a cure. So then you leave to this countryside, and The Following DLC is great too. Awesome gameplay, you get a buggy, cool, really cool setting. It's not just the city stuff like Haran is in Dying Light's base game.
Mm-hmm.
But you find this group, Cult of the Sun. They say they have the cure, yada yada. You gotta help them out, and they'll teach you about the cure. And there's someone called the Mother, who's they pray to, who gives them the power to, who gives them the cure. Anyways, you go along, you end up finding this like military base, and a bunch of people trying to get there before you, like the bad guys and the children of the sun. They're all dead, and you get there and you find the mother, and it turns out the mother is this. So there's like the nighttime infected are called I can't remember what they call them. They call them something. So there's like there's the normal zombies, there's this nighttime infected. They have like this you know Blade 2, how they have that the vampire with the jaw
mm-hmm.
breaks apart kind of thing. It kind of looks like that.
They're like extra mutated.
And the volatiles, as what they call them. And they only come out at nighttime. They don't like the daytime. And so you get there and you see this, the mother, and she turns around, looks at you, and turns out she's a volatile, but she has telepathy for some reason. And it turns out that the military base has some special chemical compound that helps suppress the disease in people during the daytime, to where they could still have their faculties and, you know, all that stuff. But at nighttime, she's still becomes very violent, and just like the normal volatiles, can't control it.
Hmm.
But so she tells you like the only way to fix it is there's like this prophecy about the sun, and she's like is to blow up Haran with a nuke, because you find this nuclear code at one point in this part of the main story, and she tells you is like you need to do this, you need to blow the city up to save it, and if you don't, you fight her. She makes you drink the chemical, but you defeat her, but then you turn into a volatile and you wake up and there's like a mom and the kid at a playground, and you mutate, and it's implied you kill them, and that's the end of the game. But if you agree, you basically go and you set off a nuke and you blow up Haran. So I'm curious if Dying Light 2 is gonna be like, oh, there's that same kind of chemical there and has these more sentient volatiles in the world. Like I'll be interested to see what they do there, but yeah, I'm really interested to see how they'll, and especially curious how it's going to be. Where is it, because the GRE failed at taking care of Haran, they just go and drop the virus somewhere else to test it, like Umbrella kind of situation? Like what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's such a fun game. I can't wait for the second one, especially if it runs at a steady frame rate, and at this point it'll be on PlayStation 5 most likely.
Mm-hmm.
So if it runs like a 60, but just like I said, the parkour is so fun. It's so good. Bumper jumping with L1, it's fantastic. But
it's all first person, right?
Yeah, mm. Yeah. It's real good. Like I said, it's multiplayer too. Like it's 4-player co-op.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping Dying Light 2 is that same kind of co-op, because it's real fun. The missions, like obviously you don't want to stay up at night, because that's when all the really tough enemies are out, but
yeah.
There are missions where like you have to do them at nighttime, so that's like super fun, like watching your radar and making sure you stay away from the volatiles, and you're like, oh, I gotta get this thing at the nighttime. And it's like there's one mission, it's like a story mission where you have to there's a new infected type, it's called a bolter, and you have to get a tissue sample, so you need to go kill one, grab it, but you have to bring the sample back to the doctor before it degrades, so you have to do it at night. You can't go rest in a safe house until morning. So it's like you get it, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, get the fuck out. And you just like beeline it to the objective, and you're ziplining around, getting away from the volatiles, and they're just screaming at you. And there's booby traps. The best part, too, is there's booby traps all over the city. So if a volatile is chasing you through a booby trap, you hit square, and it just sets off the trap, so it kind of slows them down. So it's a ton of fun. And you get bonus XP at nighttime. But yeah, good game. I don't know if I'll finish my playthrough just because, again, I'm kind of just playing for fun since I have it. And once I find something else, I'm sure when Apex Season 6 is out, I'll stop playing. But
yeah.
And then just that and Fall Guys. Just playing Fall Guys a bunch.
Oh my goodness, Fall Guys.
Like 10 million people are playing Fall Guys.
So. Yeah, everybody on Twitch and YouTube. Playing
that now?
Yeah, we played it this morning before the podcast. That's why we told her to come on.
How did it go? Who won?
I won two games.
I won no
you
games.
You won two games? Like first place?
Like overall, yeah.
You're such a good Fall Guy.
I've only won 7 total episodes, as they call it.
I won 0.
I'm not that great. Yeah, it's a really fun game.
Hold them.
But just make fun of yellow team.
Poor yellow team.
And pick
team.
On the team that's losing.
My little potato man.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how well they capitalize on the popularity. I was in an interview. There's an interview with I think he's the director or head of the studio. Mediatonic, I think is the name of the studio. But with MinMax, it's like a 45-minute interview, and they talked about how just insane it was. And I mean, it's like that Rocket League story, essentially. It's the exact same thing. It's just you don't expect it. It just, it blows up. I mean, what's surprising, too, is how well it's selling on PC, because on PC, I think it's like 20, 30 bucks or something like that. I think it's 20 bucks.
It's 20 bucks on PC.
It's got to be. Yeah, it's a big player base on PC outside of the giant one on PlayStation. So it's cool to see that people are buying it and playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, depends on how quick they can turn out new game types, stuff like that. Like, that's all that. They did talk about how they're thinking how they would do like a squad or duos or trios kind of situation. Because obviously it's a team. It's technically a solo thing, even though you can queue up with friends. But how would you make it? So they got to figure out how they would do that. But they don't necessarily want to do that. They would have to think about it to make it work. But
yeah, like a different queue system where it's just team games and you can win with your team rather than individuals.
Yeah, I guess the final game would have to be a team game. It would be. But it's like then if it's an elimination race, if one of your teammates makes it over but the other one doesn't, does it still count your whole team? Like, how are they going to do? Like, does only... You know, because if it's 60 people and it's like 30 teams of two, it's like, oh, only 20 teams can qualify. And so then like the first person of each team to cross, then you just win and the other person, they don't have to cross the finish line anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that game where you push the ball and when the ball crosses the finish line, the team disappears.
Yeah.
So they can't interfere with the other teams. Like, it could be like that. Like once you arrive, we're in a duos. If like one of us crosses the finish line, the other one just disappears because, okay, you don't have to go anymore. And to stop you from interrupting the other players.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope they can. I mean, I think they could, because they talked about a lot of game types that they scrapped. Like, they said they had like a rubric for how they like how to make five achieve five things if someone was designing a game type. It's like, okay, does it do this? Does it do this? Does it do this? And if it didn't do any of them, they'd kind of kick it out to streamline the game creation process. And they talk about how they had like 35 games and they whittled it down to 25 before launch. So if they have 10 other games that weren't as good, they could always just retool them to make them a little better. Yeah, real fun. It's a fun game, especially when you're playing with people. But yeah, all right. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up. Hopefully we get some, like I said, with that Xbox stuff, you'd imagine they'll announce something end of the month about the Series S, which again would require them to talk about price.
All I really want is just them to announce a special edition PS5 that I can pre-order.
Yeah.
That's based on Demon's Souls. I would love a Demon's Souls PS5 more than anything. Like, if it was a rundown PS5 that like looked like it was decaying or like falling apart, like some of those worlds.
It's just a black PS4. Because you died on the side of it.
Yeah, in the red
field. I'm imagining like the Tower Knight world, which is like the first world where everything is like bright and cheerful but crumbling.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining a PS5 that's like brick or something, or looks like it's a little like crumbling or apocalyptic. I don't know. I just want that. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
We talked about this before, but when did Destiny When did Destiny come out, in 2014 or 2015?
Destiny was later than the original launch, because I remember having to wait when like everyone else had their PS4s.
Well, it wasn't 2016, was it?
It wasn't super long after, because I didn't get it right away because I couldn't afford it. And then they announced the Destiny one, and I was like, yes, I'm going to get that one. And I was able to get that. But it wasn't...
It was September.
It was like a year after the original launch? Maybe not even that long.
Typing in Destiny doesn't work. Destiny video game. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2014. Yeah, so it was almost a year later. Yeah, I was going to say, because it was a cross-gen game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the first special edition PS4, right?
Yeah,
it was. So yeah. I waited a year for the PS4.
Yeah,
how did I wait that long? Wow, I'm impressive.
I don't know, man. I guess you didn't care about it. There wasn't much between that first year that you really wanted. Yeah, because the first, I was trying to think on PS3. Like the first special edition PS3 I remember was Metal Gear Solid 4 had the gunmetal one, because that came out in 2008. But obviously that console came out at the end of 2006. So I don't think there was anything else between then, between the end of 06 and the release of Metal Gear Solid 5. But
unless they
it was do just
color
gunmetal
variants rather than like an actual special edition to coincide with the launch.
Yeah, because that's all the Metal Gear one. It was a gunmetal PS4. Yeah. That's the only thing that made it unique. Yeah. It didn't have any logos on it, nothing. It was just a...
And I imagine their first... I would be shocked if their first like custom special edition one wasn't Horizon. Because that's like,
yeah,
that's a PlayStation game. Like, it would make a lot of sense for it to be like, of course, Demon's Souls is too, I guess. It would make sense. But Horizon is a more like mainstream kind of game.
Yeah. And like, I'd imagine if COVID wasn't a thing, that you could do one for Miles Morales, because they did a Spider-Man one for PS4 and invert the colors, obviously, like do the same logo, but just have it be the black and the red.
Yeah, the Spider-Man one is easy.
But you're eating into your initial production because you want to make sure you have enough for launch. Mm-hmm. But now if you're splitting your SKUs, and if no one, although I don't know who doesn't want, I don't know who's going to buy a PS5 and not get Miles Morales. Mm. But that's the problem, is that they're so constrained now that you wouldn't be able to necessarily do it.
And everybody might get Miles Morales, but not everybody's going to want a Spider-Man PS5, you know? Like, they'll play the game, but they don't necessarily want that to be their console.
I suppose, yeah. I guess it would depend on what it would look like. And then, I guess if you made it super limited, you could, but mm-hmm. you'd have to, then it'd be, it's like, maybe if it came packed with the game or something. Well, I'd have to, because that's how all those special editions work.
Yeah.
But, I'll be interested to see when the first custom one comes out.
I don't know. It seems very easily skinnable, though. So, I mean.
Yeah, too. Because
you could just get your own contact paper and stick it to it. There's no, like, real.
Yeah. It's just lightly curved flat panels. Yeah. So it's like you won't mess it up too bad. Obviously, it won't be as easy as the OG or the redesigned PS4s, where it's just straight up flat tops.
Yeah, like the pros. The pro is just like a flat top. You could put anything on it.
Yeah, it doesn't have that split. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like you could easily do something. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode then. Thank you for all tuning and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you all next time. Peters.
Bye.